Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the book of Exodus, Exodus 16, verses 2 through 4, and then continuing on at 9 through 15. Children of God, hear the word of the Lord. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill us, this whole assembly, with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for the day. In that way, I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked up, looked towards the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'This is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" Our New Testament lesson comes from the book of John, John chapter 6, verses 24 through 35. Hear the word as the Lord spoke it. "So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you come here?' Jesus answered them, 'Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw a sign, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal.' Then they said to him, What must we do to perform the works of God?' Jesus answered them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent.' So they said to him, 'What sign are you going to give us then, so that we might see it and believe you? What work are you performing?' 'Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes from heaven and gives life to the world.' They said to him, 'Sir, give us this bread always.' Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty.'" This is the word of the Lord. Would you please pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we come on this day and we have heard your word. We have heard how you walked with your people, how you fed them. But we also have heard of how the people did not usually understand. Help us to understand. Help us to see what you are saying and what word you are bringing to us this day. In your wondrous and glorious name, we pray. Amen. Today in our scripture, we find Jesus reuniting with the crowd that had gathered together and that he had fed just the day before. Now, for the sake of understanding where we are, the whole incident of Jesus walking across the water, the disciples taking the boat across the water, is not really common knowledge. It hasn't had time to spread near and far to all who would listen to the disciples tell that story. Instead, the last note, the last moment that this crowd has seen or heard was of Jesus giving them bread to eat. That's why they are where they are. Now, as I sat waiting to figure out who all the Cubs were going to trade away, and please, let's not talk baseball right now. It's really raw. And you're welcome, Yankees fans, for Anthony Rizzo. The thing is, information moved slowly. And I as I clicked for what felt like the fourth time on Friday to see how bad it was, I understood how we failed to really appreciate what didn't travel as quickly. Think about this. In a world where Jesus could have X number of million Twitter followers, he didn't. Jesus isn't texting, going over to Capernaum, LOL, going to heal people, and posting it on Twitter. You can't follow Jesus by following him on Facebook. You had to literally follow him. You know, when the incident of Jesus walking on the water, Peter's not sitting there with his phone out taking a YouTube video or a GoPro video to post later. It's not going to circulate if not by word of mouth, by person to person to person. It takes longer to get information. There's a lag of communication that happens. And so when we see this crowd, they don't know where Jesus is. They've got to look around, see where he is, and then follow. They can't check his Facebook page or ping him. I think I got that one right, but I'm still a bit of a dinosaur in some ways with technology. It's not really a big secret as to why they follow across the waters. They look around, don't see Jesus, the boat's gone to the other side. What would you assume without being one of the detectives on Murder in Paradise? What would you assume not being Sherlock Holmes? The boat missing, the people gone, they took the boat over. Or maybe they walked the whole long way. You don't know. So they go and look and try and find Jesus. But then they're surprised almost to find him there, to find him having gone to the other side. They don't know about the whole scene with the boat. Maybe they think he walked. He did, but more of a direct route, right? But instead of being overjoyed at them coming, when they ask, "Why are you here, Jesus?" Jesus responds to their inquiry with a bit of a cutting question. Why did you follow across? Why did you follow me? Was it because you saw and believed, or because you got a full belly? It leaves the people to question and hopefully grapple with their own faith, their own wonder of faith, their own journey with God. Are they following for what they can get out of it, or following for where God wants them to be? Jesus cuts them all the way to the quick. Hopefully, at best case, this causes a soul-searching moment for them where they have to sit down and wonder why they are following Jesus, why they are there, wondering if their hearts are in this or just their full bellies. Jesus asks them very pointedly to wonder if their focus is on the world they are in or on the world that will be. Are you looking at the here and the now, the earth, or the world to come as we pray the kingdom that will come? Now, we might see this as a bit of a hard turn for Jesus. He goes from being asked why he crossed the waters. Such a simple question. Why did you cross the water, Jesus? No. It's a fairly easy question. To then at him challenging these people who willingly followed him and sat and watched him as he taught them, as he healed, and then as he fed. But Jesus knows the greater problem. The greater problem of the people from the time of Abraham to the time of the kings and beyond. The people of God, God's chosen people, never really fully being able to direct their attention upwards. They're living out and living in is always seeming to be focused on the moment and where they are and what they're doing. There's a reason why the Israelites so often go astray and are wayward, because it's so easy for them with their lack of focus on the greater, on their focus on the immediate. Think of how long they wander in the wilderness. Sure, it's a long time, but every moment you read in Exodus, God is there watching over them, nurturing them along the way. And every chance they get, are we there yet? Why aren't we in Egypt? I got asked how my car trip was, and the literal response I wanted to give, well, it was better than 40 years in the wilderness. The reality is, this has been the car trip that won't end for Moses, because no matter how good things are, the people complain and whine and whine. Eventually, it gets to the point where the manna and the quail that is given to them by God is not good enough. We don't want that. We're sick of manna and quail. We're sick of God sustaining us and keeping us. We're tired of it. We want more. God sustains them, and they always want more. There's this almost addictiveness in this, that no matter how much God fills them, gives them, they always want something more. And instead of wanting to focus their attention more on God, their attention is more continually focused on what God can give to them. Every time God helps them, it becomes, what can you give me now, God? What can you do for me now, God? Instead of, for them, the manna and the quail showing how great God is, how wonderful God is at watching over them, they whine and complain because it's manna. And they give credit to Moses. They attribute their complaints and their celebrations all to Moses. It's not God that they rebel against, it's Moses. Moses is the one who gets credit in later times. Look at what Moses did for our ancestors. And the difficulty is, everything that he does, every moment he acts, it's not Moses, but God who should have everything directed to. But the Israelites couldn't direct their attention upwards. And this continues. It continues throughout Scripture again and again and again. The Israelites, the descendants of Abraham, start following God, but they also struggle to see that greater moment. Their struggle is like when you go out camping with a child and you show them the beauty of the mountains, the beauty of creation. You show them a wonderful stream, beautiful rock formations, and they're more concerned because they can't get a Wi-Fi password. They just can't look into the greater, look beyond the immediate, can't grasp the divine. The problem is, Jesus has fed the crowd. And instead of being directed towards God through this miracle, they're directed towards the next meal. They're directed towards, what can Jesus give to me next? What can Jesus fill me with next? It's not about, my Father has fed you. My Father has sustained you. There were 5,000 of you, and my Father caused all of you to eat from 5 loaves and 2 fish. Look upwards. Look to heaven for what God has done to you. And instead, how about a little breakfast, Jesus? A bagel, some lox, a little cream cheese, egg on a hard roll, something like that, Jesus. Every time Jesus heals, he doesn't want the accolades. He doesn't want the crowds cheering his name. He wants the crowds to direct their attention upwards to his Father. You see, the people see this as a conversation about bread, but it's not about bread. It's not about the food. It's about their lack of ability to understand that whatever has happened because of God. Christ is there always directing people to pay attention to God. Jesus might as well have a neon sign with a big old arrow over him as he walks, directing everyone. Everything he does directs towards God. And yet the people are always focused on the then and now, on the plane of existence. In many ways, you can't help but feel sorry for all these people who just can't grasp what Jesus is talking about. No matter how much he tries to drill into them, what he does, all the things he does, no matter what, they can't see that he's talking about the kingdom that will be. But then again, that's also a push and pull which we face too, isn't it? We live and work here on this earth. We work in and serve our communities. Behind our work and those things we do as we live out our lives as Christians should always be an intrinsic lifting up of attention, not towards us, not building ourselves up, but building what we do always to the glory of God. It should always be directing people's attention, not towards us, but towards God. It should never point inward, but always point upward. That is why we serve God. Not for our own glory and attention, but always for God's. If people want to pat us on the back, they shouldn't pat us on the back, but pat God on the back. when we help someone, they shouldn't walk away thinking how great we are, but how good God is. It's wonderful when we help others, but it's more wonderful when we help others and that help can direct someone's attention towards the divine. When we serve God, it doesn't serve us, but it directs others towards God. When we commit great acts, not great acts, small acts of great love, it directs others towards God, towards the one who sends us, who calls us, who challenges us. What we must grapple with as the church is, do we direct the attention upwards? Do we direct others towards God through our actions? Do we direct the attention we give to others towards God? Do we direct it towards our own full bellies? The challenge for us, brothers and sisters, is to always and forever remember who God is, what Christ did, and who always Christ directed our attention towards. May we be filled with the bread of life. May we remember that that bread does not perish. May we share it with one another. Amen. As you know, don't forget to